Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tomorrow is Super Bowl in July show. That's right. We're doing it tomorrow. Ray, you know, we talked a few weeks ago about doing this on a certain day. I was like heading into July 4th holiday. We said, that's not the right day.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to do it tomorrow. Super Bowl in July tomorrow. Because the Phillies are off tonight.
Right.
So it's a good opportunity, and we certainly want to encourage everyone to watch the Eagles Super Bowl tonight. Because, you know, I think a lot of people probably have it on DVR.
Yeah.
You know, we're finding it on YouTube probably if you had to. And watch the Super Bowl. And tomorrow, man, we're just going to, like, Ray, it's all out there tomorrow. We're just, we are re-celebrating the Eagles Super Bowl victory tomorrow.
Can't do it enough.
Can't do it enough.
You cannot do it enough.
Can't.
That is so true.
We look forward to that. So, again, call to action if you can tonight, if you have some time, carve out the time, rewatch the Super Bowl, maybe find some of the clips also that popped up after the Super Bowl, some of the inside stuff. You know, one way to do it is just watch some of those, like, one-hour shows with, like, the inside sound stuff.
Watch Ray's son and the work that he did.
That's right.
Yes, Ray's son, the work that he did.
David shot.
So check out whatever you want to check out tonight, and then tomorrow we will react as a show, Eagles against Super Bowl in July. By the way, James, what are you saying here? Howard's got,
so it's pretty cool. So for people who are down at ShopRite tomorrow, Howard is going to be on site for his 12 o'clock hit with you guys.
Good.
And he's bringing his ring. And
the Super Bowl ring.
The Super Bowl ring.
Nice.
And Bruce Zally has offered to contribute $15 to charity, to the Eagles Autism Charity, every time someone wants to try on the ring. So everyone can come down there, try on the ring, and they're doing it for charity. So it's a really cool thing.
Which means you can snap a picture, obviously. Put the ring on, get the phone ready, snap a picture.
Exactly.
So you can get a picture tomorrow and wear the Eagles Super Bowl ring, Howard's $15 donation you don't even have to make. Bruce Zally will make it for you. Oh, that is great.
Yeah, that is.
That's the best deal of all time.
That is the best deal of all time. That is even better than getting Steve Carlton for Rick Wass.
I mean, which was a deal that got ripped at the time.
That's incredible.
Locally. Yeah, so, the people here in Philadelphia did not like that trade.
All right, so that's big. Tomorrow, thank you to Howard for that, and thank you to Bruce Zally for that. Zally, Bruce Zally, Chris Zally, ShopRite of Williamstown. So we'll be there tomorrow. ShopRite of Williamstown, Williamstown, New Jersey. And your opportunity to wear that ring, take a picture with it, and $15 donation you don't even have to make. That's wonderful. All right, 888-729-9494. Let's go to Keith in New Jersey, who joins us. Keith, you're on WIP.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hi, Keith.
WISP Sports Radio. Best show ever.
WISP?
WISP.
I don't know. It's kind of like combining WIP and YSP and a few different things in there. That's
WISP.
All right. Yeah, I don't know.
Not why. But anyway, Machado don't worry me. I think our farm system is growing them out of the ground, prospects.
They're doing a great job.
Would you rather, finally we're starting to get produce good young players, and I don't know if I want to invest all that money in Machado for 2 months or...
Well, that's the trick. Yeah, Keith, that's the thing. All right, Keith, hit us up with who portrayed someone the best in a movie.
How about Tom Hanks in the movie Philadelphia?
All right, you guys, is that a true story?
I'm not sure.
I think it is, yeah.
I'm not sure if that's a true story. Can you name what Philadelphia sports star made a cameo in that movie? In the box, up at a 76ers game.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
That would be that.
Dr. J.
That's correct, Dr. J. How many Philadelphia sports people, Dre, would you say have been depicted in movies through the years? Now, I'm not counting Doc there. Well,
Vince Papale.
Vince is one. Who else? The Phillies player that got shot and became Roy Hobbs in The Natural, that's a stretch.
Right.
Because that was just taking an idea and making, that's a totally different thing.
Right, and so you would put Rocky is a separate category because that's a fictional character.
Rocky's fictional, and I wouldn't count Joe Frazier in Rocky because that's Frazier being Frazier.
Right.
So has anyone played Frazier in a movie? I don't think so.
No.
I mean, maybe was he featured in the Ali film? I didn't see the Ali film. Was Frazier in the Ali film?
He was in it. I don't remember who played him, though.
I was wondering if anyone else has been a Philadelphia.
Well, there was a movie. Boy, this goes going back a long way, Joe, before your time.
Oh, boy.
They made a movie about Grover Cleveland Alexander.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Ronald Reagan played him.
Pete Alexander.
I think you're right about that.
I think it was Ronald Reagan played him, and the movie's called The Winning Team. And it was the story of Grover Cleveland Alexander, who had his greatest seasons pitching for the Phillies. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Ronald Reagan played it.
How about that?
It's been ages since I've seen it.
You are correct.
Okay. And Grover Cleveland Alexander, until 1980, was the only Phillies pitcher to win a World Series game. Think about that. When the Phillies went to the World Series in 1915, he pitched game one and won the game.
Mm-hmm.
They made it in 50 but got swept.
Yeah.
Didn't make the World Series again until 1980.
Yeah. Wow.
So they didn't win their second World Series game until game one of 1980. First 97 years of existence as a franchise, they won one World Series game. And Grover Cleveland Alexander won that game.
There's a reason they were the first to 10,000 losses sports, right?
It was fighting Phils. About that. All right, we go to Dennis in Mount Laurel. Dennis, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing well, Dennis.
I got to ask Ray a question. Did you ever have lunch with Christie Brinkley?
No, I passed up the opportunity.
I know you did, but so you never made it up, though, huh?
What?
No, I never made it up to her. She didn't. that was one of those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities that when you walk away from it, you ain't ever going to revisit it.
Ray.
Yeah, but I don't know how you walked away from that.
I had a deadline. I had to have a story back in the office by 1 o'clock.
We're talking Christy Brinkley.
Yeah, you're telling me something I don't know?
In her heyday, too.
Oh, this was Christy Brinkley, 1980. She was in her absolute prime.
Wow.
Well, about the trade, I have to side. I'm sorry, Hammer. I have to side with Richie Rich here because he's having a bad day over this. But think about this. The analogy of a prospect versus Allen Iverson in practice. We're talking about practice. We're talking about prospects.
Sure.
Give me the real deal. We'll worry about it in 2.5 months.
All right, well, Dennis, let me hit you with something. So Seltzer he clearly agrees with me a bit here today. You know, I think more than he does with John. He handed me something a few minutes ago. It's interesting. So John Morosi, who covers baseball, had put this out a little bit ago, that the Yankees, when they were thinking about acquiring David Price a few years ago and Cole Hamels a few years ago when Cole was being dangled by the Phillies,
yep.
The two players that Brian Cashman said we will not trade, and so he walked away from Price and he walked away from Cole Hamels, was Luis Severino, who's one of the five best pitchers in baseball, and Aaron Judge, who's a monster.
Yep.
So, you know, it can split both ways. You can say I'm not giving up guys that become nothing, or these guys that became stars.
Aaron
Judge wasn't that great. I mean, comparatively in the minors.
How do you know? You don't know.
Yeah, I can assume that they're not Aaron. No one's Aaron Judge.
Well, I mean, he's the largest human being since Andre the Giant.
Unbelievable.
Hey, Hammer, instead of a word of the day, how about a trivia question? Who was the first baseball player to have his number retired?
I think it's Lou Gehrig, isn't it?
You're right.
Oh, thank you, sir.
So you do better with that than you do with the words of the day.
Well, you know, I try my best. All right, Dennis, who portrayed someone good in a movie?
My guy. Not only did he win an Oscar, he even looked like the dude, and that would be Ben Kingsley in Gandhi.
Oh, that's a good one.
Been waiting for that one.
Wow.
Very good one.
He looked a lot like him. Ben Kingsley in Gandhi. Ooh, I like that answer. You know who also looked a little bit like Ben Kingsley and a little bit like Gandhi? Was Raul Banez. Right?
I never made that connection.
Oh, yeah. I thought Raul Banez looked a little bit like Ben Kingsley.
Wow.
You know who looked an unbelievably, all right, you know, you'd have to pull up the picture at the time, but when Larry Brown was the 76ers coach, you got to go to that age of Larry Brown, okay, 1999, 2000, right? Larry Brown at that stage looked an awful lot like Mr. Roper from Three's Company. Check it out sometime.
Really?
I want you to look.
When?
Try to find a 1999 Larry Brown.
Mr. Roper was what? Norman Fell, right?
I don't know what his name was. And then here's another weird one. There was a stage where Donovan McNabb and Baron Davis looked very similar. When Baron Davis had the big beard, and Donovan every once in a while would have a beard.
Right.
They looked very similar, Baron Davis and Donovan.
I agree with that.
Yeah. And do you remember Mr. Roper, Seltzer?
I think that's a fair one, too. I think Larry Brown had a little Mr. Roper.
Yeah. I'm looking at a picture right now.
Every once in a while. Every once in a while, the hammer comes up with one that, you know, even Richie approves of.
Talking about, you mentioned Gehrig.
Yeah.
And we're talking about people portraying people in movies. You know, Gary Cooper did Lou Gehrig in the Pride of the Yankees. Did you know that Cooper was not a very good athlete either? He could only swing a bat somewhat credibly from the right side of the plate. When he tried to swing from the left side of the plate, when Gehrig was a left-handed hitter, he looked awful.
Right.
It wouldn't have passed at all. So what the director did was...
Don't tell me. I think I know where you're going here. This is crazy.
They flipped the film. They flipped the film. So everything is in reverse. The jersey that Gary Cooper wore in the movie actually has the number flipped.
Oh, boy.
And when you have scenes of him hitting a ball and running the bases... He's actually running from home to third, to second, to first. He's running the opposite way. But it was the only way they could. When he swung from the left side, it didn't work at all. So they let him swing naturally from the right side, but they had to reverse everything in the film.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've heard since Mr. Ed talked by eating peanut butter. They put peanut butter on his lips, and that's how they got Mr. Ed talking.
Well, this is long before the days of digital filmmaking, right. So you just had to do what you had to do.
This is why he's the Hall of Famer. Knowledge so like that. We go to Zach and Trenton. Zach, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Ray, it's an honor, my man. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
I agree with Joe 100% today. And I have 2 points. Hopefully you guys can hear me out on it. And I think that we should be concentrating on sustaining success a lot more than selling out for a player and hoping to win soon. I really want to have franchises in this town that are in the mix and competitive for a decade or decades, and we're in the playoffs almost every year. And just right now is not the time to sell high, especially with what Seltzer just handed Joe. I thought that was a great point.
Yeah, it's interesting.
With, these guys, we don't know what they're going to be, and, you know, that is rolling the dice, but I'd rather roll the dice on the possibility of having sustained success for years, because the last thing I want is to watch the past 6 years of baseball that I just watched again. I love the Phillies. I love this team. But I don't want to go into a rut like that again. I want to win. I want to be one of those teams that is in it every year. And I think the city would embrace that and love that even more if we could just be patient and hang in there.
All right, Zach, who do you got? Who portrayed someone good in a movie?
Did you guys ever see the Netflix Jim and Andy documentary?
I have not.
Well, Joe doesn't have Netflix.
Jim Carrey method acted Andy Kaufman, Man on the Moon. That's my pick.
Yeah.
But he did that so well that Andy Kaufman's daughter, who he never met in real life, went on set. And Jim stayed in character the entire time. And they talked for 2 hours emotionally, crying.
Wow.
And Jim was so good as that character that it blew everybody away. And I think he won an Oscar, too.
Got nominated.
It was nominated.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Good
guys.
Stuff, Zach. That. Thanks for the phone call.
You know, you're taking a. He says doesn't want to roll the dice, or does want to roll the dice. I mean, you're rolling the dice or not rolling the dice. Either way, I mean,
true.
Either way you look at it,
that's fair.
If you're going to quote sell the farm for Manny Machado, you hope that he pans out. I just think there's less risk in banking on a guy who's already proven he can do it than there is in waiting for prospects who likely will not pan out to the degree that Manny Machado does.
Most of them likely will not. To me, it's the 2 month thing. That's where you can't move me off that. It's the 2 month thing. That's my,
the 2 month thing.
Yeah.
If it secures the next 7 years, it is worth it. And if this next 2 months where he's in LA does the opposite, where it makes it impossible to bring him here because he enjoys his time in Los Angeles.
Don't you think the Phillies
so
are still
much?
In it? Don't you think the Phillies are
still
in it?
Yeah, of course they're still in it.
Yeah.
But
meaning Machado, this season. Machado in the offseason. That's what I'm saying. I just want to
we're still in the Machado sweepstakes, certainly. But listen, this is another strike against us, obviously, because he now has the chance to go to the postseason with the Dodgers and realize that he enjoys it there.
True. Maybe Aaron Nola will strike him out and he'll say, I'm going to go play for that guy's team. Let's go to John and Ridley. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. How's everybody doing?
Doing well, John.
pleasure to talk to Ray. I enjoy any time he's on the radio. So,
thank you.
It's nice to hear you, Ray.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You know, everybody's talking, you know, about Machado and about Kawhi and all that. I kind of wanted to switch gears about the Eagles and get Ray's two cents as far as the starters in general. Do you think that the Eagles are happy with who they have, the lineup on both sides of the ball, or do you think there's some possible changes coming depending on who gets cut in training camp from other teams?
No, I think they're very happy with the team. I really do. The guys that you lost are guys that I think they sort of expected to lose in most cases. I think they're prepared for it.
No question at linebacker?
That's the one area that if you looked at right now, if you looked at their roster top to bottom, the one area that you'd look at and say, you know, I wish they were a little bit deeper here, would be linebacker. I'm not going to question that. But, they assured themselves that they were going to bring Bradham back. I mean, they targeted him as the one guy they absolutely felt like they had to retain, and I agree with them. I felt like he was, and they did. And you're just counting enormously on Jordan Hicks. You know, and I know that's always a scary bit of a proposition because he has trouble staying healthy, but, I mean, they're counting on him having a good season. And if he does, then everything else falls into place. They're good. I mean, they really are a good team. And I think that they're coming into this season with a good, healthy attitude. And I'm very optimistic. The one thing we've talked about, Joe and John and I have all talked about this the last couple of weeks, is the NFC is very good this year. Really good. I mean, it's much stronger top to bottom than the AFC. The Eagles' schedule is going to be challenging as a result. I think the division's going to be better. Giants are going to be better. The Redskins are going to be better. The competition is going to be fierce. But I think this is a team that they can play with anybody. I really believe that.
Good to hear it. As far as a guy in a movie,
yes.
I know you guys opened the show saying, you know, I would have thrown out Charlton Heston as Moses, but since we don't know about Moses in the Ten Commandments, my pick would be Harrison Ford as Branch Rickey in the movie 42.
All right, Harrison Ford as Branch Rickey. It was actually referenced earlier in a roundabout way. John, Ray, I had said earlier I did not know for, I don't know, let's say maybe half the movie, that was Harrison Ford. And I was like, wait, is that Harrison Ford? I was trying to figure it out.
Really?
And I thought, boy, that's a hell of a performance. If someone as notable as Harrison Ford, I mean, we all know what he looks like and what he sounds like.
Right.
That I couldn't figure it out.
Did anybody suggest Daniel Day-Lewis as Lincoln?
I did in the beginning. I thought it was, from what we know of Lincoln, I thought it was sensational.
It was unbelievably good.
I thought so, too. Now, we don't know what he sounded like. We don't really know how he walked. There's some... You know, he was gangly and all that. But we don't really. There's no film of Lincoln. There's just pictures.
Right.
And there's descriptions. So we were talking earlier about how, like, we have no idea of Julius Caesar, right? I mean, we have a better idea of Lincoln than Julius Caesar.
Right.
There's bust of Julius Caesar. But it's those that in the last, you know, 50 or 100 years where there's film of, you have the better sense of, or those that we lived in the time of, like Mandela. This all started because it's Mandela's birthday.
Oh, okay.
Mandela was portrayed in many movies. And it was, well, who's portrayed a real-life person the best?
Yeah, that's a good one. But, I mean, there were times watching Lincoln that, I mean, you just felt like felt like you were looking at Lincoln.
It was amazing.
I don't know. You know, I never met the man, obviously, but, I mean, there were times sitting
there. You never met Abe Lincoln?
No, he's a little before my time. But, and Daniel Day-Lewis is a phenomenal actor, and he very well may be done now. I mean, he said the last movie he made, he said, was his last one.
Why? What's the deal?
He said he felt like a burnout, and he wasn't sure he could do it again. I mean, he's a guy that... He didn't make a ton of movies. I mean, he spaced them out a lot. And apparently he just put himself through hell in doing a movie in terms of living the part. And apparently it just really ground him into the ground. And he just thought he didn't have anything left. So after the last movie, he said, this was it for me. And I don't know, maybe he'll come back at some point. But he's had a bunch of magnificent performances.
Yeah.
But the one of Lincoln, I think, just stands alone as just one of the great ones of all time.
I agree. Wow. I agree with that. I mean, from what I know of Lincoln, but I thought the movie was disappointing. I read the book, and the book was the movie was like 10 pages of the book. The book's 750 pages, and they took the whole Lincoln. Because they have to do a whole Lincoln movie. It's a 25-hour movie.
Yeah. What was interesting was it pointed out the fact that Lincoln wasn't even the headliner at Gettysburg. He did not deliver. Well, it turned out he delivered the great address, but he was actually the second banana at Gettysburg.
It's incredible. The guy in front of him talked for 2 hours.
Right.
Lincoln, 242 words. All right, let's turn two. Right now we're going to turn two quickly. Who portrayed someone from real life the best in a movie or TV show? Quickly,
Hit us up with your answers. You got a chance to win Phillies tickets. Scott, who portrayed someone the best? Scotty. Scotty, not there. We go to John. John, who portrayed someone the best?
Val Kilmer as Doc Holliday in Tombstone.
All right, Val Kilmer as Doc Holliday. We go to Todd. Todd, who do you got?
Denzel Washington and Malcolm X.
Been waiting all day.
Malcolm X, Denzel, that's a good one. Let's talk to Frank. Frank, who do you got?
What's up? I got two of them. My first one was taken. How about Mark Wahlberg and Invincible?
We've heard that one earlier. You got a different one?
Muhammad Ali, Will Smith.
We've got that one off the board as well. Good try, Frank. Appreciate it. Tom, who do you got, Tom?
Jim Carrey is Andy Kaufman.
We've had that one already
Got that one.
Keith, who do you got?
How about outside the box? We'll go, John Malkovich and being John Malkovich.
All right.
That's clever. Creative
answer. Yeah. Colin, who do you got?
Reese Witherspoon as June Carter Cash.
Yeah. Interesting. All right, Reese. Richie's friend from college, Reese Witherspoon. I heard from someone else the other day. She was no peach. Someone else didn't know her, John.
Really?
Yeah, not the nicest is what the word is on Reese. All right, Rick in Westchester. Rick, who do you got?
De Niro and Jake LaMotta.
All right, we've heard that one as well today. So we've heard a lot of good ones, a couple of repeats there at the end. All right, we'll figure out who wins the tickets based on that answer. Ray, when we speak to you 1 week from today.
Yes.
The Philadelphia Eagles will have convened for training camp.
Yeah.
We look forward, Ray, for the next, I don't know, six, seven. It used to be 6 months. Now it's 7.5 when we prepare for an Eagle season.
Mm-hmm.
We lock it in till early February.
Right.
And actually through the parade, almost mid-February. Last time they
butterflies waited, right now.
And right? I mean, the next time, John, that you and I see Ray, the Eagles are at camp.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
It sure is.
We'll hear Ray this weekend with Glenn, Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. Time's yours. It's up ahead next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.